Welcome to the Food Trainers Podcast. I'm Lauren and I'm here with Kayleen.
Hi, guys.
So today's topic was suggested by a Food Trainers listener in Kentucky who's actually also posted the most adorable tailgating pics with her Food Trainer swag. We'll repost some of those.
Yeah, shout out to Lindsay. And she actually asked us if we ever thought about doing a podcast about food guilt. Which we hadn't.
And so with the Super Bowl this weekend, we thought it was a great time to explore what really is an important topic. And I think sometimes some of the most prevalent topics we just don't think to devote an episode to. So keep the suggestions coming. We're going to explain what we mean by food guilt, if that needs explanation, and offer solutions for countering it, including what's worked best for our food trainers clients, which is a four-step concept we call treat training. The truth is that if you want to transform your relationship with food and or transform your body, it needs to be done through positivity. Mm-hmm. So guilt and the negativity is really worth addressing. So what is food guilt and how prevalent is it? And really just our hopes with this episode is that, you know, you realize what I know, and that's that, you know, sort of all these things that we feel are like, you know, sort of on repeat through our head and that we're crazy and that it's only us. We all have pretty much. And we put it, we actually put it out there on Instagram. Do you experience food guilt regularly? And the final results were about 75% of people said yes. And we specifically used that word regularly. And what was interesting when we first posted the question in a story was that we watched it and throughout the day, the percentage for food guilt went up.
It kept going up.
Yeah, which kind of makes sense that it rose steadily. There was also a survey, about 2,000 people done by a jerky snack company, and that all about food guilt. And some of the findings were that food guilt results from an awareness of food being unhealthy, high sugar content and overeating are leading causes of guilt. No surprises there. Commonly guilt-inducing foods are ice cream, chocolate, candy, cookies, chips. Dinner is the most guilt-inducing meal of the day. 36% of people reported feeling self-conscious or shamed after they finished dinner. And that, with that being said, snacks were actually produce more guilt than any meals, with 42% of people feeling guilty about their snacks, which is really interesting. So we all have thoughts that stem from guilt. You know, the what's wrong with me? I'm gross. I'm going to gain weight. Did you really need to eat that whole thing? Mm-hmm. Why can't you do anything right? I mean, it's really if you say them out loud, it sounds terrible.
Yeah, but in your head, it can spiral.
And in your head, it's real. Mm-hmm. And I think that the problem with the guilt is that it often, you know, it takes on a life of its own. And we all get the may as well, or we call it, you know, we're so scientific, the F it. And that's like that spiral that says, like, I already ruined it. I might as well have X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. The day is ruined. The week is ruined. And then you're like off to the races.
Yeah.
So what, you know, sort of starts as a little bit of a drizzle is suddenly this like food hurricane. And trust me when I say that it's never, ever that initial item that hurts you or makes you gain weight. It's framing it as a catastrophe and then all the things that ensue. And I think the other thing that happens with guilt is that either we're off to the races because of how we frame it, or we feel the need to overly restrict.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear that all the time. Like, okay, I'm just going to starve today. You know, I had a terrible weekend, so I'm going to do, and our advice is always, no, you just like return to normal. Mm-hmm. You don't, you know, sort of eat like a bird.
Yeah.
There's the best study on food guilt. Not a whole lot in the research, but there was a study. It was in the journal. We'll post this in the show notes. It was in Appetite about 5 years ago, and it was the title was Chocolate Cake Guilt or Celebration. And it was saying with items like chocolate cake, if you know, sort of felt guilty from them versus if you sort of celebrated and enjoyed eating them, what happened? And they wanted to see, like, does guilt help us? Does guilt ever lead you to then eat well? Not too many surprises. I'm just going to read. But the study did not find any evidence for adapted or motivational properties of guilt. No kidding. Participants associating chocolate cake with guilt did not report more positive attitudes to eat healthy than did those associating chocolate cake with celebration. Instead, they reported lower levels of perceived behavioral control over eating and were less successful, this is important, about maintaining their weight over an 18-month period. So again, not only does guilt feel badly, it also doesn't help us in terms of our weight. Mm-hmm. Participants with a weight loss goal who associated chocolate cake with guilt were less successful at losing weight over a 3-month period compared to those associating it with
That's
celebration.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, so celebrate. No,
yeah.
But really, it is, again, like they looked at it for a period of time. They looked at, you know, sort of how these patterns affect our subsequent eating.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not too surprising, but always nice to see it kind of, you know, reinforced by the research. And just as we, in our anxiety episode, which we did recently, we talked about sort of all the different flavors, as we called it, or versions of anxiety. The same is definitely true with guilt as mm-hmm. we were preparing for this. I think parents can feel a lot of guilt over, well, parenting in general, but over feeding their kids. I'm a nutritionist. My kids get, you know, sort of a pretty good selection of foods. But I was literally yesterday putting a banana bread I had gotten from the bakery away in the house and had like this. This was my thought pattern. I was like, oh, there are mothers that make banana bread. I don't bake enough. I really should be making this myself. I shouldn't be buying it. Like that.
That's food guilt.
Yeah, that's food guilt. And it was useless. Mm-hmm. Like, it's okay. And I can say that now, but in my head, it was definitely like, you know, it was definitely a moment. And Kayleen, you were saying that, you know, sort of guilt about your food routines almost stopped you from pursuing nutrition.
Yeah. I felt that because I didn't have maybe that perfect diet or my routines weren't always in check, I would feel guilty. And I was like, who is going to want to come to see me as a nutritionist? And
in fact, really, like somebody who's imperfect is who everybody wants to see.
It delayed my career for like 3 years.
Yeah. I mean, and again, like that it's different in a way from guilt over eating the chocolate cake, but it's the same thing of like our expectations mm-hmm. and how we, quote, should be versus how we think we are.
Yeah.
In truth, it's the problem is with our expectations mm-hmm. as well. So, you know us, like we're not going to say like, we all feel this way, great. Let's kumbaya. So what are the solutions? And I have to say, a lot, you know, I could, you know, sort of do a podcast based on, you know, just what happens in our sessions and have a good handle after all these years. This is what I do. But I always like to look at the research and also just kind of look at like the you know, sort of lay writing about these things. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the solutions fall into, and again, I'm not making fun at anything about anything, but you know, the everything in moderation, just don't feel that way. There's no food, there's no good foods or bad foods. And there's enough of these articles that clearly they're resonating with some people. Mm-hmm. I'm just much more concrete. And I'm also somebody who's never going to completely abandon that like knee-jerk response of like, why'd I do that? Maybe our solutions are a little bit different. Mm-hmm. That's what I would hope. I definitely think in terms of no good foods or bad foods, call them whatever you want. But like with Super Bowl yesterday, like, you feel different after eating like loaded nachos than you do after eating a salad.
Mm-hmm. And very true.
And so, you know, if we don't acknowledge that there's a difference there, then mm-hmm. then we're in la-la.
I think it's the emotions sometimes that go with the good food and the bad food.
Meaning?
Like you feel good because you're eating something good and you feel bad because that was bad. Like we know it already.
The added, like in addition to how you physically feel.
Yeah, and then you add the emotion and then you feel guilty. Yeah,
then it's like a double whammy.
Mm-hmm.
Good point. So the first tip is plan for imperfection. So a lot of food guilt results from from the perceived rules that we have. And it's that just that this, it's the difference between a diet and just long-term healthy eating. So if food guilt is from, you know, the feeling that you broke the rules need to mm-hmm. acknowledge that you're not going to always be on this like one narrow path and that they should, you know, sort of involve you. Every first session with clients, I say to clients, and they hate this, and I've brought this up before, like, you're going to mess up. Like, mm-hmm. here's how we'd like you to eat in a day and just things don't always go as planned. Here's what we should do when that happens.
Yeah.
Because I think that, you know, we don't want to be sort of completely shocked at ourselves when something doesn't mm-hmm. go as planned. I was just doing an episode of Bobby Brown's new podcast. Please listen. And I gave the example of exercise. Like, we would never berate ourselves for having like an iffy workout. Like, some are good, some are bad. We did it. That's fine. We're sort of much more gentle in that respect than we ever are with food.
That's so true.
So, and then again, like a diet, you know, sort of the, you know, what's a, let's think of a diet, like let's say a keto diet or something like that.
Or Whole30.
Or Whole30. Yeah. Here are the rules. You're like, you're in or you're out. Mm-hmm. But, and you make a mistake and you're off. And that to me is just completely, sure, you could say for this week, I'm doing this or I'm attempting to do that. But anything that's happening long-term, you should expect to veer. And it's actually a skill to be able to say, and we'll get into how to do it, but to veer and come back. Mm-hmm. That's real life. And I think that, you know, it's not only like we're eating perfectly or we're eating like chips and ice cream. I think there are just different modes that we should all expect. There's like, you know, when you're A mode and everything's going well, there are B weeks, there are C weeks. As long as we do our best to prevent like those like all out like F weeks, you know, sort of then we're okay. Mm-hmm. You know, sort of just change your expectations a little bit with that. Our second tip is maybe skip the scale. And Kayleen mentioned this. Kayleen, what did you mean when you brought this up
for
to
this,
everyone?
Yeah. I think I meant, so I don't weigh myself too often, but personally for me, I know I can fluctuate between like the same 3 to 5 pounds.
As can most people. Yeah.
Yeah. And even, so that's even when I'm like in quotes being good, being pretty good, that can happen. So, but I know people obsess over that. So if you're struggling.
Yeah. And I think that your reaction to the scale is very different than what I see with most people, you know, sort of being able to say like, okay, I know I fluctuate.
Yeah.
You know, some clients and a lot of people, I think maybe, you know, sort of myself included, if you're eating well and the scale doesn't reflect it, you feel as like it almost makes you feel like you're like powerless instead of saying, you know what, I know my behaviors are improving, you know, and sometimes it's like there was a Kathy cartoon about this. If the scale, you get on the scale and it doesn't show you what you want, you definitely can end up eating worse.
Yeah. You're just like you said, F it.
Completely. So for clients who come in and they want to spend the first 10 minutes of a session talking about the scale, it was lower yesterday, I ate well, and now it's higher today. And, you know, sort of that just have, it's pulling you away from sort of worthwhile work. And, you know, I call that being a scale prisoner. Maybe, you know, sort of maybe go back to weighing yourself once a week and really try before you ever get on the scale, how have I been doing? How do I feel in my clothes? Those variables are more important than what the number says. And, you know, having been, you know, a million years ago in research, like our weight does change every day. You know, it's not necessarily sort of correlated exactly with your behaviors, your bowels, your hormones.
Yeah, all that.
You know, the weather, all of these things. Okay, so consider, you know, just because it is a huge source of guilt, consider your relationship with the scale. And I just a step back, we're going to offer our 10 tips. We always like to have a round number. Kind of thing, I know some of these are going to resonate more with, you know, each person is going to have like a couple that, so kind of pick the ones that work the most for you. Our third tip is rituals can reverse things. So if you've listened before, you know we love our secret weapons, as we call them. But I think there's two things that, you know, sort of rituals can help you with. And we're big fans of morning rituals, especially. First is, let's say you know, sort of feel guilty about how you ate, you know, sort of on a Saturday night. If you have a morning ritual, like that could be like apple cider vinegar and water. It's a very good, you know, sort of, it doesn't require a lot of effort to just sort of say like, I'm going to right the ship by going back
to that.
A reset that requires, you know, it's not you sort of expending a lot of effort, right? It's just sort of like, this is what I do and I'm going right back to normal, as we talked about earlier. The second thing is I like the function of a secret weapon. Mm-hmm. So for example, we have our popular dandelion bitters. What would be
best
an episode
seller.
if we didn't mention those? Among other things, they have debloating properties. Mm-hmm. So it is kind of nice to feel like I feel this way, I'm going to take those. And it sort of makes you feel like you have like, you know, a tool in your toolbox.
Yeah, I like that.
or I drank too much, I'm going to do, we have our everything pills mm-hmm. are very, very helpful for your liver if you've had extra alcohol. So, you know, again, we can't necessarily cover every ailment that comes up as mm-hmm. a result of overeating or overdrinking, but it is kind of, it can kind of help nip that guilt in the bud by having, you know, sort of an action to take mm-hmm. rather than just feeling badly. You know, obviously, apple cider vinegar isn't going to
fix everything.
It fixes a lot of things, but it's not going to solve our deeper issues and our self-esteem mm-hmm. issues and all of these places that food guilt can come from. But I think, you know, I was listening to another podcast and they were talking about blue light blocking glasses. Mm-hmm. And the author who was talking about them says, I put them on and I feel like I have superpowers. Now I'm going to sleep better. So I think the same thing. Again, a lot of guilt is, you know, sort of all guilt is, you know, sort of is mostly negative. Mm-hmm. Have something that gives us that feeling of like, okay, this is going to, you know, change everything.
Fix. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think then if you de-bloat, if you feel less hungover, you're more likely to eat better.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times.
Make better decisions.
Yeah. I think when you just like, I mean, who eats well, like hungover?
After a night out.
Exactly. So again, think about how you normally feel. You might probably have a lot of things, you know, it could be squeezing lemon in water, mm-hmm. but a routine that's already in place, especially a morning routine, can sort of make you, you know, set the tone for that day.
Yeah, clean slate.
And completely. And again, it stops that spiral, mm-hmm. as you just said. Okay. So that was tip three. Tip four is a walkthrough. Even when we were preparing this podcast, Kayleen goes like, what do you mean by a walkthrough? So a lot of our eating that we don't feel good about is impulsive. And the best way to counter this is the night before or the morning of. I like it in pencil, actually, so you could change it. Schedule what you're going to eat and what you're going to skip. Mm-hmm. So really sort of put a plan in place. For example, in addition to like planning your meals, you could also say snack, pistachios, not going for the vending machine. You know, sort of some of us have things that produce guilt that are repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
And so it lets you anticipate those obstacles. And then you can make a plan, as we've talked about 100 times, before you're tired, before you're hungry, and before you're stressed, so that your food choices are less driven by emotion. Mm-hmm. So try that walkthrough. It's real for people that it helps. It really definitely does help them.
I think that could help me because I like checking things off a list. If I was to check off, like, didn't go to the vending machine today.
Well, that's another really good point. It actually leads us into our next one too, is that it's not only the planning piece, mm-hmm. but the then sort of, you know, sort of extracting confidence from when you actually follow through. It's a good point, which is our next tip is victories. Again, we can all, if I asked you right now to list like the, you know, sort of things you haven't done well food-wise mm-hmm. or just in life, many people can name a lot of things that they don't feel good about. Most of us are, you know, sort of very naturally critical. And in fact, clients inevitably come in and they want to tell me everything that didn't go well with mm-hmm. their week. Even clients, yesterday I was in a session, I said like, you know, what went well this week? And the client said, you know, not really that much. It happens. We've all been there. And as we talked about it, there were, you know, this client had done a lot of exercise mm-hmm. and was drinking a lot of water and was prioritizing her sleep. So I actually, because I do always make a list of like pluses for each session, there were a lot of things that she wasn't connected with. We have on our food journal a line that we call victories. Mm-hmm. And we ask our clients or our food stocking clients to something that you did well that day. It could be drank my water, skipped the vending machine, mm-hmm. took my apple cider vinegar. So I think that again, if you're someone who goes to the things that you do wrong, it takes time. It's almost like skill building to sort of force yourself to, you know, sort of identify
uh-huh.
those victories.
That's true.
Next tip is define the why. So again, the sort of loop that we talked about, the I suck, I ate this, why'd you eat so much, why'd you do that, mm-hmm. why can't you do it right, why don't you have willpower, you know, all these terrible thoughts aren't helping you. They're not helping you and they are, you know, if in fact, as we just talked about, probably hurting you. So what I always try to sort out, and, you know, sort of this is something that actually helps me a lot, is like, Okay. So did you oversnack because you're, if you listen to our lunch episode, you sort of marginalized lunch? Is it like a certain time of day that you always end up overdoing it and feeling guilty because stress gets the better of you? Are you, you know, sort of staying up really late? And so your appetite is maybe, there almost always is a why. And just like the secret weapons, you know, for me, almost, it's not even like a specific food that makes me feel guilty. I'm like not a fan of the term guilty pleasure. We talked about that. It's always like how I'm eating. Like if I'm like grabbing and grazing and, you know, sort of always letting myself get too hungry. And I, you know, sort of beat myself up, like I know better. Like I have some nutrition degrees. But, and then I'm like, you know, even today before this podcast, I said to Kayleen, you know, we could easily, today is such a good example of we could record and then, you know, have a million things to do. And I would end up with this food guilt situation. We had sweet green salads. They were good. And just again, like it didn't take a lot out of us, but it's will set our day up so that we probably will have no food guilt today.
Nope.
So define the why. What the guilt or the mistake or however you want to look at it is coming from some part of your routine that probably needs attention. If it's stress, maybe you need a little bit of a breathing exercise, meditation, yoga. If you're like rolling your eyes, as I mentioned those things, you probably need those things. And just kind of try to troubleshoot. It just, again, puts you in the driver's seat versus feeling, you know, a little bit like of a victim of your own thoughts. Make, you know, sort of make room for the treat. So we talked about earlier that a tendency is to overdo it and then to swing completely to the other pole and restrict or, you know, sort of set up some other, you know, sort of system that's only going to lead you back feeling guilty pretty soon. So I'm not a fan of punishment or workouts to make up for the foods that you didn't plan to eat. Instead, I like, and I like clients to kind of make room for eating that might be different. So if a client is going away, we might do a day with it and away, you know, oftentimes our clients eat things like bars and a little more packaged food when they're away. Maybe we do a day without packaged food, or if they are going for a work trip that will involve a lot of late nights, maybe we really nail sleep the week before. So any time that's like that could prove tricky, try to before you go, kind of do a little bit of, you know, sort of extra work.
Plan it out a little bit.
Plan it out a little bit, and kind of not that you're then like, oh, I was lower in my carbs so I can go crazy. But then you're like, here's my system. I have, you know, 2 days where my snacks are all whole foods. I know I'm going to be traveling with a bunch of, you know, it gets to the guilt before it kicks in. And it also assumes that you're eating, maybe your eating is more in control before you have a lot of events or travel or stress and less in control then. So hopefully you won't feel badly about it because you expected it a little bit. Eating style. I feel like I'm like outing myself. This is what I was talking about before. So it's not only treat food, A, B, C, nachos, wings, beer, we're post-Super Bowl, that you know, sort of lead to these thoughts. A lot of what makes us feel poorly is how we eat. And we call this eating style. And this is something you can work on not just with treat foods, but just day in and day out. How quickly do you eat? Are you multitasking when you eat? Are you standing? Guilty of that almost every night. is your food on a plate or a bowl? Work on some of these things in calm moments, because as we'll talk about a little later, even if you eat a treat food, you know, sort of in employing some of these, I'm going to eat it slowly, I'm going to put it on a plate, it suddenly feels completely different. So that's what we call eating style. I think a lot of healthy eaters, actually, just a side point, are, you know, having the salmon, drinking their water, lots of green vegetables. And yet almost always when I ask them the questions about eating speed or multitasking, they are like, or portion. So again, you can work on some of these things in your day-to-day before the stress kicks in. So give that a try. Our next tip is unfun or undone. And actually, this one came from Kayleen too. So there's even though, and I'll get to this in a little bit, I do feel that for the most part, there is a little bit less guilt when we eat food surrounded by others than like alone, standing up, in our houses. There's definitely, you know, a peer pressure aspect to eating that can lead to food guilt. So Kayleen had mentioned, and we talked about this in the lunch podcast, I hear a lot of people, and they don't want to necessarily draw attention to their healthy habits or to be perceived as unfun. You know, that's like, you know,
sort of, like, oh, you're not going to have the cake?
Yeah, what's wrong with you? Read the chocolate cake study, people. So they'll eat a bunch of cookies or pizza or whatever their coworkers or friends are eating almost to fit in. And that's fine if that feels good.
Yeah, yeah.
But a lot of people then feel guilty after doing that. You were saying that.
Yes, yeah. So you'll feel like, oh, why did I do that?
Right.
Like, but yeah, if you're in the moment and you don't feel like doing it, that peer pressure does set in for people.
It's real. Yeah. So again, if you don't want to be, you know, unfun and you want to join the party, let it be a party. Mm-hmm. But if for 2 hours after that, you're annoyed with yourself, like maybe be a little less fun.
I think it's important actually to be aware of, yes, I think I mentioned this before, of how you're feeling while you're doing it. Maybe some people get too tied up in the fact that they like weren't having fun, but they did it all anyway.
Right.
So like, just sort of make you feel more guilty.
Yeah, exactly. So again, it doesn't take a lot of, you know, sort of having a treat to realize like, oh, like I don't really want to feel bloated or like burpy or gassy. And if you can't anticipate what Kayleen is saying, like if you can sort of know that like, okay, when I do the like, you know, 3 pieces of pizza, I feel like crap. It can kind of let you get around that, you know, sort of need to join in. That's a good point too. Okay. So this is my favorite. This is sort of our, you know, sort of food trainer's solution to all of this. So I actually think that it's what we don't expect or want clients to eat perfectly all the time. You know, we love to eat, we love to drink. And I think that part of being a healthy person is knowing how to do those things without guilt. So if you're somebody who is, you know, just terrified of eating certain things or sees them as completely off limits. Obviously, if you're somebody who alcohol doesn't work for, we're not suggesting to sort of put something in that's your kryptonite. But if there are foods that you would like to be incorporating and aren't eating them because of fear or that you don't want to feel guilty, try these steps. So treat training, step one would be to look at the calendar. Like I say to clients, any times this week that might involve a treat, look at your calendar and plan. Ideally, again, what I was saying before, for this, it's better for it to be social or with others, or at least like in view of others. Think of a time that you might, that might involve a treat. Maybe you're going to a certain restaurant. Maybe it's somebody's birthday. Maybe it's a holiday. Maybe it's the Super Bowl. and again, the reason I like sort of that this is a social occasion is it takes us away from like sneaky hiding eating that is just, you know, sort of can feel badly quickly. So look at the calendar and plan. So the first step is plan it. The second step is portion it. So if you want to incorporate treats in a way that leaves you feeling good, I once said to a client, so what do you think your treat would be? And this client said, I don't know, like a burger and fries and a shake. That's like 8 treats. But nobody's going to feel good with all of those things. So the question is like, maybe it's the burger. Maybe it's like, you know, a shake. It's not that it has to be one item, but you don't want to set yourself up to be like, which I hear sometimes like that didn't work, Lauren.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well let's scale it back a little because we want to find a way to leave you feeling good. So plan it, portion it. Step three, savor it. So this is where a treat is different than a cheat, which is if there's something that is worth working into your diet, you want it to be delicious. You want to, you know, sort of enjoy every bite. You know, we don't want, it's not, you want to go to the restaurant and have like the best bread, not like some like cold average roll. Something like that. And again, this is foreign for a lot of people. I think it's uncomfortable at first. So you almost have to like, okay, she said I should enjoy it. And it can be like a fun thing, like to find like the best version mm-hmm. of whatever your favorite foods are. And the fourth step is, you know, next meal on track. And by the and then we say like F you to the guilt. So you go to brunch and you have banana pancakes and they're delicious. And then your head starts to say like, oh, I probably shouldn't have had those. I should have had the eggs. And then you say like, no, I'm just going to have a healthy dinner. Mm-hmm. And then you're sort of, and then you're back on track. I think like, if again, this is sounds difficult, like a once a week type, you know, yeah. sort of trying this once a week is a good frequency. And then you have to see what works. So if you do try this and you still feel tremendous amounts of guilt, take a week off and, you know, don't push it. Because mm-hmm. Again, it, depending on what your eating history is, it can feel, you know, sort of, it can almost be anxiety provoking to have a treat.
Which we don't want that.
No, we want you to be, have, you know, less anxiety and less guilt mm-hmm. And to feel better all the way around. So, so those are, you know, again, our actionable tips for food guilt. The more we talk about it and like all out ourselves, the more you can sort of, when you're having those really crazy thoughts, not crazy, but really negative thoughts, you can catch yourself. Re-listen, you know, we've heard people re-listening to the podcast, which we love. Sometimes you just need a reminder.
Yeah.
So if you're heading into a vacation, or a situation that makes you nervous, maybe just listen again to a couple of the tips, mm-hmm. And good luck.
Yes. And then, so our Q&A this week is actually from Lindsay, who suggested this whole topic. She reached out
Lindsay
to
Lindsay in Kentucky.
Lindsay from Kentucky. She had said she lost a lot of weight in grad school. And then now she is so afraid to regain that weight back that even a small change, maybe 5 to 10 pounds, will make her freak out and she'll get anxious about it.
Right. Which is, again, another source of like guilt, like, am I going, guilt and fear.
You see that with clients?
Yeah. I see it a lot with clients. I actually, interestingly enough, see it with some of my most successful clients and clients who have lost the most amount of weight because there's this fear of returning to like, you know, sort of that old you coming in and taking over. I was saying to Kayleen as we were organizing the podcast, had a client this week who has lost a chunk of weight, really made a lot of great changes, gained a couple of pounds. We don't talk a lot about numbers. We weigh our clients backwards to discourage that scale obsession. But the client looked at me and is like, have I gained all my weight back? Sincerely. And I was like, no. You still have all this weight you lost. But that's the same thinking that Lindsay is referring to here. So, on one hand, if you have made a lot of good changes with your exercise or your nutrition and have, you know, changed the way you sort of think or look, a small degree, I don't want to say I like Lindsay being fearful, but a small degree of that, I don't want to go back to the person that didn't feel so good, is actually can keep you healthy because you kind of, I think I always worry much more when people are like, I'm never going to go back there. Like that's in the past. Uh-huh. And I'm always like, it stays with us if we don't do the work. So a little degree of, I need to do these things to maintain my progress is good. Mm-hmm. And I actually think that for someone like Lindsay, sometimes whether it's having, as we call it, like a reference pair of jeans or, you know, some article of clothing to give you an objective measure.
Not the scale.
Yeah. Again, if you're someone like you who can get on the scale and be like, oh, look, I'm still in my normal range. That's okay. But not if somebody, it's going to flip somebody out. But it could be, that's a good point. It could be the scale. And I think just, again, going back to behavior. So like, How is my eating? How is my exercising? How is my hydrating? How many treats am I having? As we just talked about, you know, folk taking yourself away from that loop, which is like, I'm going to go back. I've had one bad day and it's one bad day. Like we said, start your morning with whatever ritual or healthy routine you've developed. And, you know, try to calm that down. It's very normal though, this type of type thinking. And I would say to Lindsay, you've made all these changes to make yourself, you know, feel good, spend the maximum amount of time you can, like feeling proud of that. Send us more pictures. Yeah. So that's food guilt. I hope, again, if anybody is recovering from the Super Bowl, that like it is what it is.
Just go on a new day.
Yeah, go and have the best day and best week that you can. Super Bowl happens once a year.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, you know, like what's Valentine's Day is coming up next. You can employ some of these tips. But thanks for listening and subscribe and like us and also
send questions
and topics that you'd like us to cover.
Great. Thanks.
Bye.